Yes, okay. Good. Okay, so shall I give you a 10 or a 12 minute signal when you get close to your 15 minutes, or would you like to just take care of that on your own, Serenity?
12 would be great.
Well, okay, very good.
12 minutes would be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Serenity. The floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Hi, my name's Serenity. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, very grateful member of BBA, and extremely grateful that my higher power brought me to this process of being able to work those 12 steps and to feel a level of sanity. And if I just go back a little bit, so I joined BBA in January this year, 2021, and I was suicidal. And there didn't seem like there was any other way out. I just returned back to OA after a stint of being away. Had a sponsor, had worked through to step eight, and had like over 200 days abstinence. And yeah, life wasn't all a bed of roses. And knowing that I had to end that with that sponsor, but I was full of fear. And so scared that if I walked away for OA, there wasn't anything else. And by the grace of God, within a 3-day period, I left my sponsor. I found BBA. I had a BBA sponsor and I started on the steps. I spoke to a fellow recently and they said, Serenity, I don't think I've ever known anyone so willing to do the steps. And yeah, willingness, it was out of fear. And I always used to say in the past that I had a fear of fear because it just didn't sit right with me. That feeling inside of me would just churn me up inside, and that would give me any excuse to eat. During my life, food's always been there. It's my primary. I tried the drink, I tried the drugs, I tried all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, I would just revert back to food. And so then I work the steps in the BBA way. We go through steps one and two and three. I got a great understanding of who I am and what I was. I spent sort of probably the last 30 years as a seeker, trying to find something to change the way I felt. So I had a connection with higher power. But I would flit in and out of being there. So it came to the point of doing my step four. I would write my resentments, as I had done. And that first sheet, because we have a two-sided sheet that we go from, that first sided sheet was my sponsor gave me the permission. It was like, Serenity, get angry. Get angry. Get it out. Get it out on that paper. You can be spiteful, vengeful. Say it how it is. Say it how it is for you and how you feel. And at times, the amount that I wrote, it was like I was just throwing it all up onto the paper. And that's what I was able to do. But then I was able to look in the column where it says about our fear, and it says on there, fear of, and in little brackets underneath, just as an example, it says being good enough. That was something that I've lived with all my life, that fear of just not being good enough. I'm not good enough at this. I'm not good enough at that. It was just that I'm not good enough to exist, breathe, be part of family life, hold down a job for longer than a couple of years. And so through going through and working through the sheets, I had the amount of fears that I had was unbelievable. It was like every single line I wrote for anything and everything had an individual fear. Yeah, I don't have a printer. So I then had to go and print off the fear grid to be able to write all these fears onto. And I asked my brother to print them off and he said, how many do you want? I went, oh, 10 sheets would be enough. Yeah, it wasn't. And I say that because I printed off the grid that was sort of like A4 size. You turn it into portrait. It goes from like A to I don't know, JIJ across the top, and you can write, I think there's about 34 to a sheet. But I know I got to 340 different fears, and everyone was like, really? And it was like, well, I was told that when I do this process, I needed to be fearless and thorough. And all I knew is that my sponsor had my back, that any time that I was struggling or couldn't handle it, or it was too overwhelming, I could pick up the phone, I would message her. Some days I would say to her, I would commit, I'd say, I'm going to write another 20 today. I'll fill in another chart today. I have to say that the further I got into it, the easier it became, and the quicker the process was, because those first few I was writing, I was literally going across the whole of the grid up to like the I or J, whatever position it is. And some of them carried on going up to letter O, because I could just see that there was this, it was like, I'm not good enough. And underneath that was the rejection. And then if I'm rejected, then I'm not worthy. And if I'm not worthy, I'm not loved. And it just felt that every time I looked that little bit deeper, it took me that bit deeper. It took me to a place inside of me that I'd never, ever looked at or experienced before. And it showed me some real, what I would class as like cold, hard, dark truths. And just doing that first line, I remember getting to the end and feeling absolutely exhausted. And I haven't got my chart on me now, and I wish I did. But I know that as I got towards the end, it was very much a case of there was my fear of dying. And then if I died, it was a bit like, where do I go? As much as I don't have a religion, I think there was the fear of going to hell. And then it was the fear of not being good enough to go to heaven. And the fear of God not wanting me. And again, it was still that abandonment and what was going to become of me, because this has always been like my pattern in life, my unfolding and being torn apart. And as I got further and further into it, it was always, it came down to, if God doesn't love me. And that very last column of getting to the point of looking at self-reliance, that last word, and then it peels it up, and self-reliance is very much on, I know it's 67 and 68. I'm just having a little quick flick. So on the top of page 68, and it said, when I turned this into questions, it said, did I review my fears thoroughly in columns 3 and 4? Did I put them on paper? I did. I wrote every single one of them on paper. I still write them on paper now. If something's coming up and it's bothering and bugging me, get my words out, my English, that then I can just look and go that much deeper. It's a bit like I'm actually physically, it's coming out through that pen, it's onto the paper. It's like I've discharged it. It's again, it's rather than just blurting it out to someone else. I can talk as much as I like, but actually physically putting it down, as it says in the book, let's get it down in black and white. Even I ended up reverting to having a black pen, because I used to write stuff in blue, and I heard someone say, it says in the book, write it in black and white. So I do. and I don't know why, and I can honestly say that there feels like a power behind it. It feels like being a grown-up and doing it. When I was a kid, we always had to write in blue. So doing it in black feels like taking ownership and doing it in the now. It's not a thing that I've got to worry about from the past. And it says, even fears I had no resentment in connection with, they were what I wrote down as well. My fears of spiders, my fear of the dark, all of those things I was able to put down, what I would class as my childhood fears, my growing up fears, and the fears that I carry now. And then it says, did I ask myself why I had them? And that's what I did with each of those columns as I go went along. I was able to look and go a little bit deeper. What are those fears about and why do I have them? But this was the thing. Do I believe I have fear because self-reliance failed me? Self-reliance failed me every time. Being a compulsive overeater, I've tried every diet, every slimming pill, every diet club. Anything and everything you can think of. I tried as a kid, I wanted to be anorexic. But food for me was just like the winner. But everything else with food, I've tried and done, and I couldn't do it. But what I realized, it isn't just the food, because I've put the food down and I can now see the unmanageability of my life. And that is where it's a bit like, that's where my resentments are. But underneath all my resentments is the fear, because I resent people because I still have that fear of not being good enough, being judged, not being loved, not fitting in. Where's my place in the world? So, it feels like a memory of all times gone by. But the more I see it, the more it is down on paper, I can actually pray and hand it over to my higher power and say, God, is this really how you'd have me be? Or can I hand this to you and to allow you to change it in your time? In my time, I'd like it all done now. And I wake up tomorrow morning like someone's waved fairy dust over me and it's all disappeared. But it doesn't happen like that. But I do see changes in me. Sometimes I take my will back and I fall back into fear again. But this is work in progress. It's progress, not perfection. I just see it that I take one day at a time, and there for the grace of God, today I'm abstinent. By being abstinent, I feel like I have clear thinking. There's a clarity that I'm actually able to see what my sort of faux pas are, where I make mistakes, where I'm jumping in and finishing other people's sentences, or where, and I think I'm being helpful, but I'm not, because actually everyone else is an individual and I'm not God. I'm not there to control them, fix them, change the way they feel, make them feel okay, make the world a better place, because I think that I can do it better than anyone's higher power. For me, it's being able to take a step back, take a breath and just go, okay, this is the world for what it is. And by accepting and being in that place brings about that level of peace. With the name that I've got, Serenity, I feel like I've spent the majority of my life of people going to me, are you serene? And at many times I'd laugh because it'd be like, I've got teenagers. What do you think? And it would be a standing joke. But no, I'd never experienced it. I didn't know what it was, because the fear was always there that peace and serenity was something that just wasn't available. It felt like someone was talking another language. And only by doing that fear grid and really getting to see and understand where I was, who I was, what I was, why I was, and it all boiled down to self-reliance, makes me then go, so if self-reliance fails me, what do I need? What do I need? And it's a case of looking to God and saying, how would you have me be? And that is to be of service to him and to be of service to others. Being able to be a step guide and work with others, be on the end of the phone when people are in good places, happy places, when they're in not so good places, and be able to be there and listen. To turn up to meetings and be able to share. And in a way, how I see it, or how I've been given as a message from God, is that by working on myself, which for me, fear is probably my primary area, for me is to keep working on myself so that I change and I grow. And as God puts it, I become that I shine. And by shining, I'm able to give to others and to show others that there is the opportunity to change, and that by being there, I might be open to understanding exactly what it is to live with an addict mind and being able to share that with other people. Thank you very much for asking me to come, and I'll hand it back to you, Andy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Serenity, for your brave, honest share. Wow. You spoke out loud some of the things I've experienced also, and I suppose many of us have. Okay. Well, with that honest and powerful start, I want to open our meeting now for sharing and for questions to anyone from anyone. Please limit your share to under 4 minutes. And the topic for tonight's meeting is the fourth step and fear, and maybe even the fear grid and how that affects us. If you've not done the work related to this topic, as done through the Big Book Awakening, we ask that you limit your sharing to questions only. This is a crossfire meeting. You can ask anyone a question or comment on anyone's share. If you're a newcomer to this meeting and to the Big Book Awakening, we will reserve some time at the end of the meeting for you to introduce yourself and share if you wish to, so that we can get to know you a little. Okay, anyone want to step it off? Well, while you're all thinking of it, I'll just say, Serenity, thank you. I wrote a very, very, very long fear grid myself, and I worked with two different sponsors, and they both said, wow, I have not ever seen such a thorough fear grid as yours. And yes, at the bottom of it for me was abandonment and loss of love. And I never put it together quite the way that you did with the connection to self-reliance at that time. I saw it for me more as this wound from my very, very early childhood that has distorted my entire life and led me to behaviors, codependent behaviors, and behaviors that showed my no self-respect or dignity in some cases, and really brought me to places. Well, it brought me here, so I guess I'm grateful for all of that. But the self-will part of it, connected to the fears, is a very very helpful leveraging. What's that word? Fulcrum. Thank you, Serenity. That's going to help me a lot as I meditate on this idea. And I've noticed in my life that certain things trigger my elemental childhood fears of being wrong and doing wrong. That's kind of like the first step into this crater of lack of self-worth and lack of value. And I always find it unusual that as a guy who did drugs and all kinds of stuff, I spent lots of my life doing stuff that was wrong, but somehow that never triggered my fears. It was other little funny things that triggered these really super intense fears. Like, why is that? You know, like walking around with pot in my pocket when I'm 16 and there's cops everywhere. I didn't have a problem with that, but, you know, somehow like making this phone call is freaking me out. So that just shows where the connection to the childhood wound is. So thank you again, Serenity, for that really honest and vulnerable share, and for the insight that you gave me. Thanks. So, anyone else want to share?
Andy, can you stop the recording, please?
Thank you very much. Yes, I will. There it is. Stop recording.